Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You got it.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button. If you're not already, you're going to get new interviews like this one sent your way every single week. You can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do leave a rating and a review. Wherever you're listening from, those always help out so much. We've had some great guests. I was just talking with Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine. Famke Janssen was just here to discuss her new Netflix series, Amsterdam Empire. We hung out with the Kaiser Chiefs and Teenage Fan Club, Moby. Michaela J. Rodriguez and Ron Funches dropped by to talk about the third season of Loot on Apple TV+. Broken Social Scene, Mary Chapin Carpenter, Marty Stewart, Ian Astbury of the Colts. They've all been here recently as well. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with two incredible actresses, Erica Christensen and Penelope Ann Miller. Erica broke out in movies like Traffic and Swim Fan in the early 2000s, then became network TV's face of emotionally complex women with Parenthood, and more recently, Will Trent, which he's currently in as well. And then Penelope Ann Miller, Hollywood royalty of the early 90s, from Carlito's Way to The Artist. She has worked opposite Pacino, De Niro, and Brando, and even The Invisible Man. And today we get to talk about an indie movie that they've done together called After All. The synopsis: when Ellen returns home to care for her ailing mother and estranged teenage daughter, the three generations of women are confronted by buried secrets and the path toward love and forgiveness. And that's what we get to talk about. We get to talk about this movie, After All, the three generation story about family, about forgiveness, specifically really about generational trauma. We're going to start with Erica first. She also executive produced the whole thing, and we get to dig into why she was drawn to this character Ellen, a woman finally forced to grow up, and how the film's stillness and honesty set it apart from today's flashier fare. So let's jump into it, talking about all that and some Will Trent as well. But mostly, after all, it's Kyle Meredith with Erica Christensen.
I like your records.
Prince, Bowie, REM, what's the big ones for you?
I mean, Prince, what is the red striped shirt? Who is that?
Oh, it's Maya Hawk.
What? She released an album?
She released three albums.
What?
Yeah, she's one of the most incredible lyricists, I'm telling you right now.
Wow.
Yeah, like turns out she can do the both of the things, and she does it really
Yes.
well too.
That's incredible. I better listen to them.
Go check it out.
Wow.
Recommended.
Okay,
Now I'm gonna
perfect.
need an album from you. That's
Yeah. I'll think on that. I'll give you one. I mean, although I also feel like there's probably nothing that you haven't heard, you know, like if you're like a real music guy.
Surprise me, dazzle me.
Okay, I'll try. I'll try.
Hey, after all, what a beautiful movie. What a beautiful movie this
Wow,
is.
thanks.
Seriously. It's you're so starring, but also executive producing. I mean, that must have meant something. Like, this must have meant something for you to jump in on both sides.
Yeah, it's funny. By the time I came on board, there I didn't develop, well, I did some. There was already a script and the financing was coming together, and so I definitely had a hand in continuing to develop it from when I came on board, because that was November 2021, right? Lord. And then also in just putting it together, as far as, you know, I called Zach Gilford to see if he would play Bobby, and Mike O'Malley to see if he would play Ellen's boss. I forget his name right now. But they both brought so much. And then it takes a lot to just keep the show on the road when you're making a movie like this that has a small budget and a small crew, and
That's the passion, right? I mean, like, there's got to be a reason. What's the line, right? Movies are impossible to make if you
yeah.
get it made. And to take a story like this, this is a heavy story, and this is a story that's not afraid of silence. You know, to be a little movie, and for you to figure out a way to make it happen. I mean, again, I guess that's what I'm asking, is like, it's like, what did you see in it that made you know the road ahead is not going to be the easy one, and still say, let's do it.
And still say, let's go. I loved this character. I loved Ellen. I mean, the whole story is really poignant. But I found her really interesting, that she was sort of living like she was still 21, and at this point when we meet her is when life forces her to finally grow up. I think it's pardon my dog, that's Ronnie in the background.
Happy to have them nearby.
I feel like there's something also that grabbed me about her and about this story, where when we meet her, she's not ready. You know, she would just keep on going exactly the way she has been if she could, and she knows she's not doing great. She knows she's a mess, but she would just be happy to be like, hey, I am who I am, you know, take it or leave it. So that little piece of her is interesting to me. And then also, you know, the whole family and their story, and that the way that it unravels is it just so interesting. And then ultimately, you know, the hope that we find at the end is not sappy. It's like a very, it's sweet, but it's very grounded, sort of open-ended, let's see how things go. And I really appreciate that too.
Because of all those things that you're saying, as I was mentioning, you know, not being afraid of the silence, it does feel like a movie not of this era, almost. Like, it feels like a movie a lot of people wouldn't take a chance on, or would be afraid to make, you know, and that's why it works. That's not why it works. It works for a lot of reasons, but it does work in a time when a lot of people say this won't work.
It's funny how there are always the trends in filmmaking of, you know, what's working, let's do more of that. And but human stories about relationships and about people doing their best and encountering challenges they never expected and all of that, like that's just life, and that will always have a place in movie making. I'm sure of it. I was gonna say I hope, but no, I'm sure.
Well, it has to. It has to.
Yeah, I
Let's keep
mean,
saying that.
why not make movies about ourselves? I love I love, like, supernatural horror movies also, but there will always be a place for human conversation.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Erica Christensen.
And for the stuff you all are tackling, I mean, there's generational trauma that, you know, is so much at the base of this. And to see you playing, like, the way you're talking about, like, she knows she's a mess. We don't exactly know if she's an alcoholic, but it feels like she might be. And even thinking of on Will Trent with Angie, like, you know how to do that without overplaying it. Like, what is that? Where does that come from? And how did you end up playing two characters that sort of have a little bit of a similarity?
Yeah, it's interesting because they do have that in common. We had just shot the pilot of Will Trent when we made After All. And I was in Austin, Texas for After All when I got the call that we got picked up and we were going to go to series. And it's funny, I feel like I've been acting my whole life. And it's a visual medium mostly. So of course what's represented visually matters, but from an acting standpoint, rather than a filmmaker standpoint, from an acting standpoint, if something is true, you don't have to prove it. It's just true. And so I think that's kind of how I walk that line that you're talking about of, I don't need to, I don't need to do anything to prove to anyone anything that is true about myself. Either you can sense it or not, but it's true. And that's all there is to that, you know?
But that's for you not to be stumbling around, I noticed that anyway. I noticed how well that was done, in those moments. And I don't know, to be like, I don't know how long this shoot was, but to be embodying someone like this every day for a certain amount of time, like, is there a weight to that?
You know, there are different schools of acting, and I'm sure there could be, but the one that I subscribe to is really that the most freedom for the character is in a strict demarcation, so that I let her go as far as she needs to go, because I can always come back to me, and I don't take it home. I little things, like she has an accent, like little things might have popped up where, like, oh, that's a physicality and that's something that I'm kind of practicing or something, and I was like, oh wow, okay, there's that. But emotionally, I don't take it home. B, it's being a creative endeavor. It's inherently like fun, even though, and it's an odd thing, but sometimes some of the heaviest, scariest, most evil, most traumatic, all of the things, those scenes are sometimes the most fun because they require even more creation to get away from the reality of, like just our day that we're having, or like, dang, it's hot outside, or, man, I need another cup of coffee, or whatever it is, that just that the mundane is so far from that circumstance. And I think that's what makes it really, fun is kind of a cheap word, it's oversimplified, but it scratches an itch, which is why somebody was asking me the other day, how do you choose these roles? Why do you choose these roles? your whole life, like all these characters that are messed up in various ways. And I was like, I mean, now I don't know. Now I'm just looking for something that I think is cool. But when I started, I definitely wanted to get as far away from myself as I could, because then I was really acting, you know? Like, and I don't have that particularly anymore, but that's a valid thing to be like, it requires that much more creativity, just creation of this other world that does not exist if it's very different.
And that world, you said something a minute ago, because you said it's hot outside, and I was talking to Penelope too, and she said it was hot inside,
So
by the
hot.
way. That house, the moment, the very first scene, right? We see that house,
Yeah.
and I thought, I hope we're in this house for this whole movie, because I want to be in, and you were.
Oh, good. Yeah, and it's such a great little house. It looks like a horror movie. It looks like, you know,
It
and
could have been a horror movie.
it could have been. If we had been, you know, at earlier points in these people's lives, yes, it was a horror movie. And the house looks so beautiful. The way that super like wide lens, you can see everything. That whole environment is really, yeah. That house was great, but too hot. And no central air, of course.
No central air. One, that's what she's saying. One in the, I remember that. Like, I grew up, I'm in Kentucky, but I grew up in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky. I'm in Louisville now. It's a nice city, but
Yeah.
you know, growing up, you know, in the 80s and 90s in the middle of nowhere, like everything about those surroundings, like, yeah, no, I lived that. I was there. You know, that's,
You could feel it too. You could feel the weight of the air.
can. And that's what I'm saying. Like for this to be an indie film, you know, a small movie, as they say, it feels so big the way it's done. And I mean, the photography, of course, is beautiful on this thing, and just the way that you all pull this off. Because that, again, you know, I will say this, for a beautiful story, but if it's not done the right way, I mean, it could have been boring, right? And it's not. It's not even a little bit boring. But you can, choices are made, and you go the wrong way, and that's what happens. Yeah,
Yeah,
so.
it could have been boring, or it could have been ultimately like a downer. And it's not that either. Without being saccharine, it's not a downer. Not like, oh, we're all screwed. We're all just doomed to repeat the sins of our fathers, and you know, like no.
Was the accent work, by the way? Have you done Southern accent before?
No, not at work. I've done, it's funny, there's like various, I have friends that do a German accent, like that's the default for some reason. The default accent, like, you know, when you're just being silly, is German. So like I have a bunch of friends that do German accents, including my brother, who I know this is not the answer to your question, I'll get to it. I did a film called All at Once. That's a great little indie movie too, about an artist with a burgeoning career in New York in September of 2001, and he's the godfather of his close friends, two little girls, and then they perish in the 9/11 attacks, and he's a guy now that has two young girls, and then the story picks up 10 years later. And it's their life, the three of them, and it's fantastic. But my brother auditioned for this character who's an art critic, and then he got this job, and then he's at work, and our friend Johnny Abrams, who directed the film, was like, "Do you think you could do this with a German accent?" And I was like, "Watch this." And of course, he pulls it out of his hat, and that's the take that made the film too. It was incredibly satisfying. However, I have a bunch of family in Tennessee now. My in-laws and that whole side of the family, and it's interesting, like studying the similarities and differences, because then this is my hands, this is the map. I'm like, oh, this is East Texas. And the funny thing is just, as with any sort of character thing, you just have to go there. And once you're there, then it's fine. It's just, if you look at it from over here, you're like, oh, I don't want to go there, but then you go there and you're like, oh yeah, duh, this is fine. And trying to make those decisions about, well, she's been in Austin this long, and so she doesn't really have an accent, but then she gets pissed off all the time, so then the accent comes back, and then she goes home, so of course the accent's back and all
Which is
that.
definitely how that works.
Yeah, of
Yeah.
course.
I call my parents, the accent comes on. That's, yeah, is the whole thing. Yeah, no. Now I'm entertained. I would love to see her with a German accent on top of that. So it's, I think that scene somehow hit the cutting room floor.
Fascinating. No, yeah, if you get the chance, what is it? Where is it streaming? This a great little film called All at Once.
I'll look for it. I will.
Yeah.
And speaking of
At least
looking for things
already
that,
watched after all. Yeah.
yeah, wrapping it up too, because I'll so great to see Will Trent and the continued success of that as well, and just returning to characters always seems so interesting to me. How do you have to tap back into something kind of a thing, affectations and all that, like remembering? Is it muscle memory?
It is, but it's also the same little, whatever the same little things that formed my first sense of her. Going back and grabbing that, I have the first scenes that I ever, where I ever inhabited Angie on my phone, and I have a couple times throughout the years gone and been like, "Who is she again?" and just like checked in. Liz Heldens, who is one of our showrunners and adapted the books to the degree that they are adapted for our show. She wrote the pilot, is what I'm getting at. She and Dan Thompson, one of the first things that she said about Angie is she thinks you're an idiot. And I was like, "Oh, that's
What a
so
great jumping off point.
clear." Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so clear. And so like you just go little t the little touchstones of like, all right, and then and at this point, for coming on 4 years into a show, what's great is that these characters' relationships, now we've lived them. Now we don't have to read about their backstory or imagine it. We've lived all of it together, so all of that is right there. It's like I was saying before, you don't have to prove it if it's true. It's just right there.
I love seeing what you guys do. Congratulations on that. But seriously, getting After All out into the world, I know it's small, no small feat, and it's such a beautiful movie, and the story and the acting and everything. Congratulations on it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
We're gonna do it. We're gonna keep
You're
putting it out there.
good. And thanks so much for taking the time to talk. It's been a
Oh, it was a
pleasure.
pleasure. Absolutely.
And we'll be right back right after this. All right, welcome back. Now we're going to move on to Penelope Ann Miller, who, of course, also stars in this film. We get to discuss playing a mother, facing dementia, channeling her Texas roots, embracing the discomfort of shooting in a sweltering Austin house to create something authentic. So, part two right here, as we talk about the movie After All, it's Kyle Meredith with Penelope Ann Miller.
All right.
What a beautiful movie,
Thank
honestly.
you. Thank you.
Didn't know what I was getting into. You get the trailer, and it's a little bit of that, like, what is this going to be? And to get into it, and it's a heavy movie. It's a very heavy movie, but it's
Yeah.
so beautifully acted, and God, the cinematography is incredible on it.
Yeah.
What
I
when
mean,
you
for a
get
low budget independent, I think they really made it look like such high quality
right.
of how they shot it. And our DP cinematographer Pascal, he just was fantastic. And I know that Kirsten really had a vision, and the way they filmed it, made it look, just didn't make it look cheap, like you said. It made it feel so cinematic. And so it's nice to hear you say that, because I know they would really appreciate hearing that. And and the thing is, it's very heavy and dramatic, but there's a lot of humor in it, which I think is important. Like some of my favorite films, like Terms of Endearment, what I love about that movie is that there's all the pathos and the depth and the tragedy, but then there's also so much humor, which comes with life, not purposefully, but
And especially the release when you do get to those moments in a movie like this. I mean, they just hit so much harder. But that's what, so when you get a script like this, where you kind of understand what the project's going to mean, emotionally speaking. I mean, you hear people like, oh, I read it and I was so excited to get into it. And I think when you get it, like, that's not the word I would use if I saw, like, excitement isn't exactly it. Like, what is it though for you? Is it excitement? Is it worry? Is it the challenge?
It changes depending on the project. I knew getting into this because of the kind of role I was playing, it was definitely a departure from what people are used to seeing me do. I was excited because, but I was also challenging at the same time. I'm playing this older woman. It's certainly not a glamour role. Vanity just had to go right out the window. But I thought she was such a rich character, and she had so many layers to her. And it reminded me a lot of relatives. I sort of incorporated a lot of relatives that I had throughout Texas. My dad grew up in Texas, so it just reminded me of various, relatives that I've had. And so I sort of was channeling them, and I just thought she was a great character. I mean, what was I a little was it a bit daunting at times to pull it off, because I didn't want to play a caricature. I just wanted to play a real person, but a character. I mean, she's and there are people out there that are true characters. So, I just thought it was such a well-rounded, well-written role, as all the female roles are in this movie. And I loved that it was about these relationships with this family that have been estranged and have gone through a lot and have a very dark past and are trying to sort of figure out how to come together because of this tragic event. And it just, I think there's so much to relate to with family, whether you have issues, estrangement with your mom or dad, or, a daughter or a sister or brother or whatever the case might be. And we've all gone through those experiences in different ways. And so, how to forgive, how to let go of the past, how to love again, how to come together, how to make it work, like all that stuff. And for instance, like Eric and I are such different people. I mean, not this personally, yes, but like even in these roles, I mean, we're so vastly apart in who we are as people, even though she's my daughter. And I thought that was so interesting. And then our granddaughter, played by Kiara, who gave a beautiful performance. I mean, everybody was so
Beautiful. Yeah.
different, and how we learned how to get along.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially it did hit home for me. I mean, I'm not in Texas. I'm in Kentucky, which still, I mean, there's so much internalizing in the South, I think, that comes along.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, what was that? You were talking, your character was talking about being told to go outside and get a switch. Like, I was told that so many times when I was a kid, but that's not a phrase you hear in a movie a lot of the time.
No. Well, my dad, definitely had a mom that would say that. In fact, he had a paddle with his name on it. So he said, "You go get your paddle. Go get your paddle." And it was like, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble." But they knew they were going to get paddled, and that was normal. It wasn't considered child abuse or anything like that. It's like, you're going to get spanked. And so, I mean, that was just the way of life then, and they knew that was part of it. I mean, now we look at it so differently as parents, and or yeah, I don't know if you're a parent, but
I am a parent and I have never asked my kid to go get a switch. I can tell
no.
you that.
It does seem a bit barbaric
Yeah,
to
right.
us now. At the time, it was not to them, but yeah, it does for sure. It's like, remember in school where you heard, not that this happened to me, when I was in school, they get their hands
Oh,
swatted by
absolutely. Yeah.
teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you couldn't be left-handed, which I am. They
I'm
had to say,
left-handed as well.
"You are high
Yeah.
five." Okay.
Yeah, that's pencil markings on the hand for my entire life.
Totally. Yeah. But I
Right.
don't go like this. I
Yeah, I do
do
the hook.
sometimes do it like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
that's
do
the
all my sports right-handed.
same here.
Really, we're the same. We're the
We're
same people.
it's funny because they would teach it like, I'm sure I could have learned how to play sports left-handed and might have wanted to, but that it was just I don't know. I don't know, but it
But I
is funny.
eat left-handed,
Eat
and
left-handed and
I cut right, but
yeah.
I eat and write left-handed. So we're using
Ambidextrous
both
like.
sides of our brain, so we're
Yeah.
very well-rounded.
Well, I'm gonna latch on to just none of that except for the brain part too, because here you are playing this character who's slowly losing the use of her brain and she's losing her memories, she's losing her mind with dementia. And to play a character like that, that kind of slowly goes in that direction, I was thinking like so much of that feels like it would have to be done with your eyes, and you do incredible work just with, the way you're looking through this. But how do you play, like, what's the process, I guess, is what we would ask here when you're playing a character who's going through something like that and not overplaying it, not being a caricature?
Well, I do a lot of research on people who've had strokes and obviously dementia and forms of those issues, and have known people that have gone through that as well, or Alzheimer's or something, and just different forms. And it was interesting because I had one of my very good girlfriends, Jolie, not Jolie Fish, Jolie Fisher is, but her sister, Trisha Fisher. Jolie wasn't there, but their mom went through a stroke, and Connie Stevens, and she had been to the premiere in LA and watched it. And she said, "Oh my gosh, I just can't even tell you how much you reminded me of my mom, just with the hair even, and the way you go in and out of like these different personalities. And sometimes you're like saying things that you're reacting like, what are you saying? That doesn't make sense. And you're going into your past and you're kind of like not remembering." She told me, which was such a huge compliment because she's really living directly with it with her mom, and just said it was just, to me, right on. And it was just such a huge compliment because I didn't want it to seem like, oh, I'm trying to be weird or charactery or overplay it. And of course it's in the writing. I mean, I have to give a lot of credit to the writing, but it's in the way in which I play it so that it doesn't come off like I'm trying to be kooky or weird or funny. It's just, she really believes it at the moment, like what her circumstances are in that moment. I think she's just all in. And so I couldn't think of it, I couldn't look outside myself and say, oh, I'm acting weird, because she doesn't think she's acting weird. So I really had to not be self-conscious about it, but just kind of go for it. But find that fine line, that, so it's nuanced, of course, and not overacted.
Because it turns out you're really good at your craft. Anyway, that's
No.
the but
Well,
it's
thank you.
and it's you were talking about the writing, because if I remember right, like it's actually based on a true story,
Yeah.
which you've played real people in the past, even recently, of course, with Nancy Reagan and Jeffrey Dahmer's mom.
Yeah.
But this would be, I'm guessing, something like with someone with no profile. Is it similar? Do you get, I guess in a way you're still getting that type of research in the way you're
Well,
doing it,
I
but
spoke to the writer about his circumstances as a child, and obviously it's loosely based because it was really about him as a child, and he made the character a woman, which was very kind of him. So he really made it about women's relationships, and the three generations of women, which but all of that, with the brother and the going to war and being in an abusive relationship, and all that was real and had happened to him. So obviously he was garnering all of that wealth of experience into poured into the script. He just made it, slanted it toward a female version of the story. But the grandma was the grandma, but the daughter was the boy. So it was just a little bit, changed in that regard. But I think the fact that it's a true story, I think it makes it all that more authentic in its feelings. The way I think the audience perceives it, from my experience of having seen an audience now for the first, really seeing an audience watch the film on the big screen, which was ideal, frankly. I don't know if you got that opportunity, but
right here on my computer. It's
yeah, and that's the way it has to go these days sometimes. But I'm glad that you got the reaction that you did and the feelings that you did about it, regardless of not seeing it in a big movie theater with an audience's reaction. But for me to see it, because it's hard for me to be objective, it was nice to hear the laughs and to see people cry, to feel, you could feel the audience's emotion and really in the story. And so that was gratifying for sure.
And especially that writing, it was just this week. I don't remember who it was. I'm quoting someone, but I don't remember who. But they were talking about how so many, especially TV writers, and I know we're talking film versus TV here, but are now told write for cell phone attention, write knowing that someone's going to be what looking at their phone while the TV's on, so they can still follow it
Oh.
easily. It's, I mean, to dumb it down, right? Like it almost makes this movie feel classic in a way because it's not that. You know, this is a movie you pay attention to. It's a movie you look at. It's a movie that carries silence in a
Well,
powerful way.
and that's so true. 'Cause the thing about the movie that I personally really love is the fact that there's so many quiet moments. There's so many moments that people aren't talking and are listening and reacting. And I mean, with Erica, a lot of her stuff is observing and watching and feeling, and you see it all going through her, but she's not saying anything. And my character is a bit chatty, but I also feel that there's so much of those silent movies, which is, I mean, silent moments, which I love about old movies, is that they allowed room to breathe. They allowed you to actually be in the moment with those people. It didn't have to be all you being hit constantly with, action and dialogue and drama. I just think sometimes the drama is in the silences.
Just to be able to sit. I mean, that's where we get classic movies from. That's where we get classic moments from. It's becoming a lost art, unfortunately, it seems like in this
It
moment
is.
here, you know, and maybe it's just a
And I know
phase.
people are saying, that this does hearken one back to the old days of filmmaking and movies that we did grow up with or love or watch. Even like you look at really old movies and now those silences, oh my, I think there are young people who probably wouldn't have the attention spans because they did take a lot of time. They weren't constantly hitting you with stuff all the time in a lot of the older films, the black and whites and all those.
Well, thank
But
goodness for
this,
little indie movies that can, you know, that
yeah.
actually somebody believed in this movie, right?
I know, and I really am so glad that I hope, more people will get to watch this movie after all, because it's not necessarily like what you would call a feel-good movie, but it's a very fulfilling, gratifying movie. I think you walk out of it feeling like something good can happen in your life in spite of whatever tragedy or whatever strife that you're going through, is that something can come out of dark. Light can come out of dark. And that, to me, I think that message is so important.
And I will tell you, without obviously saying why or whatever, but the movie is going through, and it's getting close to the end. It's like I'm gonna end up misty-eyed, aren't I? You know it's coming, and there it is. It's like ah,
And you're all by
and
yourself.
I'm in my office is where I'm at, and going,
And you're going wiping away a tear.
nobody come away, nobody come
Yeah.
around. It is
Yeah.
it's beautifully told, and like I said, in that house. That we see. I don't know if you guys actually shot in the house
Oh,
or if
we
that's
shot in
just.
that house and it was hot. It was we had a record heat wave in Austin and we were out in the boondocks. That house was real and real hot. And there was no air conditioning except in one room, and it was on a one of those built-in window,
Yeah,
like you
I know what you're
pop
talking about.
open.
Yeah.
And we'd all like sort of clamor into that room. And the poor crew at the time were still being masked, and everybody was sweating bullets, and it was challenging on many levels. And I have to give a lot of kudos to that crew for, especially because it's low budget and it wasn't a cushy environment. And the house was great looking for the purposes that it served. I mean, it was an amazing house for the story. It was really perfect. But it wasn't, I would call, comfortable.
But still,
So
you take the job. What does that say? I don't mean that's supposed to sound positive. I think it was sounding negative. But what, you know, that's like you do take the job, knowing that it's not going to be, you know, big budget catered and everything.
well, and that's the thing, because I like those kind of films. I like smaller films. I like character-driven films. I like relationship stories. I like old movies. That's why I became an actress, was from watching old movies. I wanted to be in those. And so because of that, I welcomed the discomfort because I knew it was going to pay off, hopefully. And there were just so many things I loved about these characters and these relationships and what they go through. And there was so much to play. As an artist, you don't necessarily always have a lot to work with. And we had a wealth to work with. We had so much to work with. Like, it's like you're peeling away the onions on these people. And so for me as an actress, like I relish that. I welcome it. I crave it. And I don't always get that. You just get very sort of one note type of character. And she absolutely was not. And neither were the other women in the movie, or men for that matter.
Well, thank goodness you all did it. Like I said, I just I've got nothing but compliments about this film,
Well, spread the word, spread
and
the word.
spreading the words. And I'm looking forward to the stuff next. I just saw the news come out about Never Again and reading about that. To see what's coming up with that. So, congratulations on this one and
Thank
getting
you.
it out into the world for you all
Thank
sticking
you.
with it.
I really hope it has a life, and it and people get the opportunity to watch it, and I think everybody's gonna get something from it. And it's very relatable, I think, all ages. And it's not just because it's a female relationships. I think men also really enjoy it as well because of their relationships with their moms or their grandmas or their sisters or their daughters or sons or whatever. I mean, so there's just, I think, really something for everybody.
Yep, perfectly
And you
said.
being a man as well.
That's
Like,
right.
so there you
That's
go.
right. All right. Penelope, thank you so much for taking the time. It was such a pleasure to get to talk to you about it.
Oh, you as well. And thanks for your support. I really appreciate it.
And my thanks to Erica Christensen and Penelope Ann Miller. After All is available on video on demand wherever you stream from. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Before you get out of here, do remember to hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week at Spotify and Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news. One of my recent shows, featured some classics and favorites from bands like Crowded House, The Wonder Stuff, My Morning Jacket, Pink Floyd, Bob Seger, Carole King, Grantley Buffalo, Daft Punk, Cassius Culpepper, Margaret Glaspie, Chappell Roan, TV on the Radio, Bitchin' Bajas, Rachel Yamagata, Cowboy Junkies, Wednesday, and my interviews with Willem Dafoe, Corey Hawkins, Anna Diop, and the cast of Shrinking. That's what you get when you tune in weeknight starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Okay, I'm sure you listened to this album, but Blonde by Frank Ocean it was 10 years ago.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.